church. Our scripture lesson today, the lectionary assigned passage for the season of Lent, is from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. It has been said by a theologian that these are not warm, fuzzy verses. These are verses that challenge. These are verses that call us to action. There were some people present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish." He told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit from on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Let it alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put on manure, and if it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, we will cut it down then." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we pray that whatever you intend today for your people, that happened. We pray that your Spirit be present and that we receive from you whatever word you have for us. Be with me, Lord, as I share words. Let your Spirit be with all of us, that we all might receive what you would have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in Southern California, city of Santa Paula. And Santa Paula is a community where they grow lemons, oranges, avocados. I have shared with you before in a sermon that the ranchers there learn that when they plant a lemon tree in the ground, they give it very little water, only the minimum water to keep it alive, that the roots might be forced to grow down deep into the soil where it looks for water. And then in times of drought, then that tree would survive, where had it received a lot of water at the beginning, the roots would be shallow and surface level. I read an article this week about a farmer in the Midwest who was growing corn and soybean. And he said the same thing. And this was his story. After a rainy season where the crops were doing really well, very abundant, someone came to this farmer and said, "You must be really happy because the crops are doing so well." And he said, "No, actually, I'm concerned. Because if there is a drought, there could be much damage. For you see, when it rains a lot, the roots from the plants remain at the surface where there's plenty of moisture. And they spread out along the surface. And they don't push down deep into the soil looking for water if there had not been so much water available." He said, with the roots on the surface, it takes only a small drought to do a lot of damage. I share both of these stories because so often we find ourselves in the midst of problems and troubles. And sometimes when we feel that we're in the midst of problems, we feel that God has abandoned us. When actually it's in the midst of turmoil that we can feel pushed and we search for God. We look for God. We pray for God. And it's like our spiritual roots are forced to go down deep into the soil. In Matthew 5:43, it talks more about rain, and it says that, like in the illustration of the farmers, in Matthew 5, it talks that rain comes when it comes, and it doesn't come when it doesn't come, and it has nothing to do with us. I think farmers learn about the unpredictability of rain, but perhaps there's lessons in that for us as well. And I share this before we look at Luke 13, because this is our dilemma. Jesus came into a world where the predominant Hebrew understanding and philosophy was this: if something bad happened to you, it's probably because you sinned. If a calamity happens, then somehow your sin brought that on. This was a traditional Hebrew teaching. But this is not what Jesus taught. If we look back into the Old Testament, into the story of Job, this is what we read. Job was being tested by God because he was a faithful man. And in that conversation between God and Satan, God was saying, look at my servant Job. He is a good man. And Satan said, well, if there were some turmoil in his life, maybe he wouldn't be so godly. And in that story, which isn't our story for today, but in that story, when turmoil comes, Job's friends all say, see, these bad things are happening to you because you must have sinned and you are bringing these things on. And Job said, no, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. In the end of the story, Job proves faithful. In the New Testament, it's into that kind of world, the thinking that if something bad happens, that it's your fault. Jesus came into that. And remember, the disciples, after Jesus healed a man who was born blind and restored or gave him his sight, after that wonderful miracle, what was the first thing that the disciples said? Lord, was he blind because of his own sin? Or was he blind because of the sins of his parents? And to that Jesus said, neither. So our scripture lesson today begins with some stories that we know nothing about. It begins by saying that the Galileans were a part, while they were doing a temple sacrifice, they were attacked by Pilate and put to death. And I don't know if the story even tells us that much, but I needed to find out more about that. So I looked up a couple sources and found the answer. One of those sources, interestingly enough, being John Wesley. Now, John Wesley, we picture him as the founder of Methodism, on the circuit rider on a horse going from town to town preaching. But Wesley had been an Oxford scholar. He was a brilliant theologian. And so I looked up in his commentary, in his footnotes, and this is what I discovered. The account in Luke 13 that is being referenced is that in Galilee, there were a group of people who followed a man by the name of Judas Galanita. They called him Judas of Galilee, and they were anti-Roman. They were rebellious, and they did not follow the Romans, and they were leading people on a path towards rebellion against Rome. And while they were at a worship service, Pilate, who was the Roman leader given that territory, Pilate ordered his soldiers to infiltrate that meeting dressed in the garb of the Hebrew worshipers. And there, once Judas and his followers were worshiping, they were attacked by Pilate and they were killed. And the passage says their blood was mingled with the blood of the sacrifice. And the disciples were turning to Jesus and saying, well, what about this? Jesus, knowing their thinking because of the kind of questions they asked before, asked a rhetorical question. So do you think these Galileans who were killed were worse sinners than the other people who live in Galilee? And Jesus answers his own question by saying, no, but unless you repent, you will perish along with them. Jesus follows that up with a second illustration of calamity that happened. There was a tower that fell over in Jerusalem and 18 people were killed. And this Siloam, the name of the place, Jesus asked the question, do you think that these 18 had worse sins than the others who live in Jerusalem? And to that, Jesus again answers his own question, no. But unless you repent, you shall perish with them also. A couple of ways that we could look at this. One of those being that Jesus understood, foretold what was going to be happening to the people in Israel. For they pushed and they pushed and they pushed against the Roman authority. It's sort of like this. I was thinking of a parallel. It's sort of like the country of Afghanistan. When the Russians took that over, they found it a very difficult place to hold because the people rebelled against their leadership. When the United States tried to do the same thing, Afghanistan was a horrible place to try to control. Israel was like that. They had a mentality that they were not going to be ruled by the Romans, and they were plotting and plotting again and being rebellious against the Romans, so much so that in the year AD 70, the Romans had had enough, and they just attacked Jerusalem, killing people, destroying the city, the temple. And what Jesus had been saying could have been for all the people. It could have been a warning that this calamity would befall them if they didn't quit in their rebellious ways. There is the understanding. And when Jesus said to them twice that, no, it's not because of their sin that these things happened. So I go back to Matthew 5. It says that the sun shines on everybody, the good and the bad alike. The rain falls on everybody, the righteous and the unrighteous alike. But with that, Jesus was saying, repent. And whether it be because of their political activities or whether it be because of their spiritual activities, Jesus was saying, repent, lest you perish like them. So then this is followed up with the parable of the fig tree. This is the story that theologians say is not one of those warm and fuzzy stories. For in Israel, good soil where trees will grow is really at a premium. And a fig tree, when planted in good soil traditionally takes 3 years before it bears its first fruit. So in 3 years' time, if the fig tree has not produced fruit, then it's cut down. And a new fig tree is planted there because they don't have time to wait because the soil is scarce and the fig trees are expected to produce. So in this parable that Jesus told, the owner of the land said, 3 years, no fruit, cut it down. And the caretaker says, no, wait. Let me mix in some manure. Let me fertilize the tree. Let me work the soil. Let me give it the proper amount of water. Let me tend to the fig tree. And then we'll see if it develops fruit. In this passage, it's a passage about the grace of God and the patience of God with us. But it's a passage that also warns us not to miss out on the blessings of God, not to miss out on the fruit. In Luke 3:8, it talks about how the good fruit then can be worthy of repentance. In other words, that the good fruit represents our walk with God, that we not be indifferent to the ways of God, that we not lose out on what God has for us. Galatians 6 describes fruit this way. And whether we're talking about figs or the spiritual fruit that God gives, this is why there is the sense of urgency. Don't go without God. Don't go without what God has for you. For God has for you an abundant crop. Here is what the fruit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, these are all things that we would benefit from, and life would be so much richer with them. The fruit of the Spirit is the result of our roots going deep in the soil and drawing from the rich nutrients of the soil and the moisture that makes the tree grow. The tree that's planted along the banks of the river, as Scripture said, that is the strong tree. During the season of Lent, we are intentionally doing things to make ourselves open to God. It's like we're tending to the soil, or it's like God is tending to the soil. During the season of Lent, we've been talking about prayer and humility. We've been talking about devotions and scripture reading and being open to all that God would give us. This story says, don't turn your back on God. God wants you to be a tree that produces fruit. Someone last night at the Sabbath service said to me, you know, I have a fig tree. And my fig tree is a beautiful shade tree. It has nice big leaves and it offers shade. But you know, that tree has never offered any fruit. So I said to the person, cut it down. Let us, in this season of Lent, know that God wants God's best for us. God wants us to experience the joy, the abundance of a fruit-filled life, spiritually speaking. Let us be open to God. Let us be open to Christ working the soil of our lives. Let us be open to what life can be like with all that God has to offer. And let us stop turning our backs to God. There is no time for that. Amen.